It's so good to be here today, and today I'm going to do a little pastoring today. It's not going to be the evangelistic message, but I'm going to talk to you today about some things that we ought to be thankful for. I have to tell you today that I'm thankful for our nation, and I think so many times we forget all the blessings of God that we have every single day of our lives. And I want to say today that there are so many times that we go through life and we forget or we don't acknowledge the greatness of our Lord. Could someone turn that air off over there for me? The greatness of our Lord. The greatness of how He's blessed us over and over and over and over again. We have a great nation today. And we have a lot to be thankful for. I'm going to name off a few things, and I'm going to go through these, and I could have come up with, I don't know, 30, 40. I've got 8 things down here I'm going to share with you that we should be thankful for. Number one, I want to say, God, we're thankful for our freedom. I mean, what a privilege it is today to come into this place and to worship the Lord and to praise the Lord, and to be with this awesome worship team, and to feel the presence of God. I think we're just blessed. So many countries today do not have the privilege of doing what we've done today, to actually come together and to praise God and to lift up the name of Jesus. And it's something we probably take for granted every day. You know, as we walk in on Sunday and we grab our coffee and we grab a few donuts or grab some fruit or whatever we do, and we just come in and chill on the pews, and God, the blessings of God are in this place and the presence of God, and we kind of expect it and we believe that it's going to be there. But are we really grateful for the opportunity that we have to worship God together? How different would it be if we got up on Sunday morning with a different attitude, thinking about how great God is, and we was like, Sunday is my fun day, man. I'm excited about the kingdom of God. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to go, but I'm blessed by getting to come together and having a church family who love me. Yesterday was so awesome. And I wish we could take the time today. We thought of so many things we'd like to do today. We just had the day packed. But just some of the stories from yesterday of the lives that were touched yesterday as we came together as the body of Christ and went and passed out food and fed people and blessed people. It was amazing. And we need to be thankful for those things that God has blessed us with. The freedom to speak and to say the things that we want to say. The freedom to proclaim the name of the Lord. I know there's a lot of conversation about shutting all that down, but I'm going to tell you today we still have that freedom, and we need to use that freedom, and we need to be thankful for that freedom. Are you with me today? And then democracy, to be able to have the opportunity to go out and vote, and no matter how you voted, you had the opportunity to vote. What a blessing to have the opportunity to go out and vote and say, thank you, God, that we have this. A lot of people don't get that opportunity. They are appointed someone to rule over them without regard of their opinion or thought. And we have, it's such a blessing to be able to go out and vote. I heard someone say the other day, said, well, it don't matter how we vote. And I said, well, you know what, whether it matters or it don't matter, I'm going to go vote because I get to. I have this privilege. I'm going to get to go do this. I'm going to go vote because I get to. It's a blessing. It's a privilege in my life. And then education. And I know our education system is probably 25, 25th, 26th in the world. But we forget sometimes. But there's a lot of countries that don't even get to go to school. Young children do not get to attend school unless they're very wealthy or something of that nature. They don't have the privilege of just getting up and every day having a school that they can go to. And having an ability to get educated. And we do. We have the top universities in the world in the United States. And people come from all over the world to come to our universities. We have a great nation. Now here's one that just really strikes in my heart, because something we do every day and we forget to give God thanks for. We don't even, matter of fact, we don't even appreciate it because it's so common to us. And that's clean water. Every day we drink, we have clean water to drink from and shower in, wash our dishes in. And you know, do you ever turn the water on and think, I can only use just a little bit? I'm rationing this water. No, we leave it running while we're over here in the kitchen. It is just running, and we're all, and we don't even thank God for how many times you pick up a glass of water and you say, thank you, God, for this clean water. Thank you, God, that you've given me this privilege. 783 million people do not have access to clean water, and you get to drink it every day. 2.5 billion do not have access to adequate sanitation. But we get to have that every day of our life. Even in our worst condition in America, we still, people have the access to clean water. How many times do you just drink a cool glass of water and say, thank you, Lord. God, you're good. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for blessing me. I know you're going to laugh at this, but I mean, just today, you probably got up this morning, used the restroom, and flushed your toilet paper down the toilet. There's a lot of places that don't have the ability to do that. The things that we don't even think anything about. But we're blessed. We're blessed. Number five, food. Americans waste 7 billion pounds of food each year. Some say it's closer to 133 billion. I can't even hardly fathom that. I know that we tell our kids, you know, when we were growing up, we're trying to teach them to eat all their food. Now, there's some places that don't get to have food like this. You don't need to waste your food as they scrape it off into the trash can because they didn't want to eat it. But we forget to thank God for the blessings that we have in our life of eating. And we say the blessing, but when we say the blessing, do we really say the blessing? Do we really sit down and say, thank you, Lord, for this food? I know, I'm guilty. Sometimes I'm just ready to eat, so I thank you, Lord, for the food. In Jesus' name, amen. It's almost like it's routine versus Thanksgiving.
Right, it's good.
Like, I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to. And I know I've taught our kids, you know, hey, listen, hold up, say the blessing. Well, are we really thankful? Are we really thankful for God's blessing on our plates every day? And then technology. Technology we have always at our fingertips. I don't know how much of a blessing it is, but sometimes it's a curse, but really is a blessing because there's a lot of countries that are not allowed to have internet, that are not allowed because they don't want them in touch with the outside world or having knowledge or looking to see what the rest of the world is like. But we can just take our little phone and say, Siri, give me something good to eat in Hammond, Louisiana. See what she said.
Check it out.
Check it out. She's checking it out. Oh, look, I got all these places to go eat. University Donuts. That's got to be the will of God. Privileged. The little things. The little things. We live in the most prosperous economy in the world. The U.S. labor market is among the most flexible in the world, which means it can withstand wage fluctuations and workers can easily move from one economy activity to another. We are so blessed. Now, I didn't say this last service because I didn't have all you young people in here, but I'm going to say it this service. Guess what? Don't tell me you can't find a job. Get you a lawnmower, get you a weed eater, and go to work. God is good. Come on, y'all smile at me. I'm going to preach to the church today. Well, Pastor, I can't find a job. How many need a babysitter? Raise your hand, you need a babysitter. There's 30 jobs right here in the room. We're so blessed. I'm so thankful that we have all these opportunities and we overlook them And you know what? Listen, I'm just going to talk to us today. We think if the job don't pay $30 an hour, man, be grateful. Be grateful. Go to work. Put a smile on your face. Start thanking God for the $10 an hour you're making, and God will bless you with more as you're grateful for what you have. You don't have to clap. It's still a good word. Gratefulness. Are you really thankful? Are you really thankful? Do we sit around and complain and don't realize how good God is to us? Have we sit around and moan about the things we don't have when we forget about all the things that we do have? We live in a nation that has the strongest military by far. I will look these stats up because I didn't just want to get up here and say things. So I looked these stats up. Our military, you know, you hear all this that China and Russia is catching up with us and all this fear that's portrayed to us. The truth of the matter is our military is 10 times stronger than any other military in the world. And you say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is you laid down and went to bed last night and didn't fear that you was going to be attacked. Why some countries put their kids to sleep in the same room with them, because in the middle of the night there's going to be an air raid and they've got to shuffle their kids off to a bomb shelter or to a place of safety. Thank God. Do we thank the Lord for blessing us? I wished I had a bigger house. Are you thankful for the house you live in? Are you grateful for the things that God's blessed you with? I know a season of our life when our children had opportunity to be around people who had much more money than us, and they had bigger homes and bigger cars than us, and sometimes they would start comparing, and I'd say, don't compare. We're wealthy. What do you mean, Daddy, we're wealthy? We're wealthy because we're blessed. We live in a good house. We drive good cars. We are blessed. And let's not look at other people and compare ourselves, but let's thank God for what we have. Because it's so much more than so many other people have in the world today. And we are blessed. Let me name a few things that kind of seem, that we do every day that we kind of ignore. What about utensils to eat our food with? You know, so many, we don't think much about that. And everybody likes to pick up a good chicken leg with your hand and eat it. Or some crawfish. Come on, somebody. But I don't like to eat my rice with my hands. I'm sorry. I really like to have a fork or a spoon or something to eat my rice with. And I'm thank God we don't have chopsticks. I can't work those either. I like some good shovel that I can put a lot in my mouth with. Do you ever thank God about that when you're eating? God, thank you, Lord, for the simple things, the little things. You can use this on your show in the morning, TJ. Thank God for a washer and dryer. Woo! I want to say amen, somebody, for a washer and dryer. Because at my house, we wash probably 6 to 10 loads of clothes a day. Julie, can you give me an amen over there? Aren't you glad that you're not having to use a rub board? Thank God. Thank God. So next time you put a load of clothes in the washer, don't complain about how many clothes you got to wash. Be thankful about you having something to wash them with. Come on, I was thinking about that because sometimes I complain about putting the clothes. I see the clothes pile up. Instead of being thankful that God give us a washer and dryer, I'm complaining about how many clothes there are, forgetting that God's blessed us with all those clothes. Come on, you're going to hear me today because this is real stuff. Being thankful. Air condition. Ooh, I'm glad we have some air condition. Now, we can't get it right in the church. Jeff has real problems with this back there. He's frustrated. We text back and forth. Some are hot. Some are cold. Some are like it in the pot 9 days old. But we're always having issues with the air. But aren't you glad we have air? So the next time you want to complain about the air, be grateful for the air that you have. Be thankful for the air conditioning. Be thankful for the heat. When you're cold, put a jacket on. Don't complain. If you're hot, fan. Cars. How many came today to church in a car or a bus or a train or something? You came. How many are thankful that you had a ride to church this morning? Come on. I was thinking about cars today, and you know, so many families in the world don't have a car. I got a problem at my house. I got so many cars. We have to strategically plan where we're going to park, knowing who's going to leave first in the morning. It looks like a parking lot out there. And the more kids I have that cars, the more. And you know what? My daughter pointed out the other day. She goes, "You know, Dad, we don't have a single car in the driveway. We have all SUVs." I was like, "I don't know if you want to say that out loud." We got all these cars. God's good to us. They're not brand new cars. They have lots of miles on them. They're not the finest automobiles driving the roads today, but I'm grateful. Are you with me today? I'm grateful. When you're driving down the road in your old car or new car or whatever car you have, don't be complaining. Be thankful that you have some wheels to ride on. Be thankful. Be thankful. Only in America do we get to do that. We have stoves and ovens and microwaves, cell phones, computers, laptops, iPads, notebooks, all the conveniences of life. When our children turn 10 years old, they think they need a cell phone. I don't know who they're going to call, but they need a cell phone. Blessed, blessed. Blessed, blessed. I would say that we're probably the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. And God's shown his grace upon us so much that we cannot even comprehend it. Sometimes our blessing becomes our curse because of our lack of thankfulness. And the very thing that God's poured out upon us, we waste because we are not grateful. I want to stop right there, and there's a passage of Scripture, and I didn't have time to look it up, but my mother-in-law reminded me of it as she walked out the door this morning. The Scripture names off that whole list of sinful things, from adulterers to fornicators to right on down the list of what we call bad things. And one of the last things under there is ungratefulness. God thought so much about us being thankful and grateful that he put it among all of those other things that we think are terrible. We need to learn how to have a heart, an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness to God. This is our worship, people. We need to live out of this place of thanksgiving, this place of worship. God, you are so good to us. So good to us. I'm going to talk about a few things today that are not sometimes things that we deal with in church, but I felt so in my heart today to just talk about this. We need to take some time to really focus upon the Lord and reflect upon the blessings of God in our lives. To bring our focus to the truth and to the calling of the church to do what God has called us as a church to do. Now, I'm speaking to this church today, but I'm also talking about the Church of America. We're still a nation founded on the principles of the Word of God, and there's no other nation on earth more blessed than we are. It's no wonder that Satan would love nothing more than to bring division and hate and bitterness and a spirit of rebellion into our nation. Because if he can divide us, he can conquer us. If he can divide us, he can conquer us. Because if we hate and we have bitterness, we lose immediately. But a house of praise always wins. A house of worship always conquers. An attitude of praise is blessed. So we ask, how do we do that? We must first understand that it's not the responsibility of the government to change the atmosphere. No new president, Congress, or Senate can change the atmosphere. I just want to tell you today, none of that, those things are going to change the atmosphere. What's going to change the atmosphere is when the church wakes up from its complacency and becomes the church that God has called it to be. When the church learns to how to pray and how to fast and how to seek God and how to press through and be the church that God's called them to do and to be. So many times we get distracted. We come Monday night and we prayed for this election and we pursued after God along with hundreds of churches, thousands of churches all over our nation praying for God's will to be done. And then we wake up on a Wednesday morning after an election and we just fall back in our comfort zone and say whether our guy or girl won or lost, we just kind of move back into our same old instead of pressing in to the presence of God. You see, we're not going to change the atmosphere if we don't learn to press in. If we're not a people who pray and pursue after Him, we will go back. It doesn't matter who's leading. What matters is who's changing the environment. Who's changed the environment? I remember 9/11. After 9/11, people came together from every denomination, from every walk of life, from every culture, and we prayed and we pressed in, and our nation came together and prayed for America. Because we thought we were under siege and we thought the battle, the war, all the fear of war has come to America, and we began to pray and push back. And then we realized, hey, everything's cool. So we went back to doing our same old thing, and division come back and we started dividing again and speaking out against one another, and the division came right back in. So here's my deal. Why don't we pray till something changes? Why don't we just get on our face and cry out to God and live a life of gratitude and a heart and an attitude of changing the environment? Instead of going and complaining and getting wrapped up in all of this stuff, why don't we walk into our streets thanking God that He's King and Lord over our life and put a smile on our face and joy in our heart and speak good of the kingdom of God? Good of the kingdom of God. We must turn our attention and focus to the Lord and off of the distractions that we see and we hear every day. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this. I want to break this down for you today. You've heard this passage of Scripture 1,000 times over. Could you bring me some water? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, if my people, was it speaking to the lost? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. God's speaking to us today. He's saying, if you, the people of God, the church of the living God, will humble yourself. I want to talk about having some humility today. We need to have some humility today. We're caught up in a nation that's full of pride and arrogance and bitterness and strife. We, the church, are to be humble, not prideful, not arrogant. We are to humble ourselves before the hand of God and allow God to speak into our life and allow God to adjust some things in our life. We're too busy sometimes praying for other things when we need to wake ourselves and shake ourselves from our apathy and say, hey, wake up. Wake up. I want you to put your cell phones away today, and I want you to listen. The church is in complacent mode, and there needs to be a shaking in the body of Christ. There needs to be a moving of the Spirit in our lives. There needs to be we need to change the tide. And no one's going to do it if the church doesn't do it. We've too long blamed government. We've too long blamed presidents. We've too long blamed the last president who came through the house instead of saying, hey, we the people of God. The Bible says that righteousness exalted the nation. And if the church is not righteous, how can the nation ever be exalted? If the church doesn't pray, how is that nation ever going to change? We spend more time on Facebook than we do on our knees. We spend more time on Snapchat than we do in the heavenly places. We spend more time gossiping. I'm going to preach today, so just get ready. We spend more time gossiping and running down and criticizing and complaining than we do praising and worshiping and thankfulness and lifting up the name of Jesus and calling on the name of the Lord. And when the church begins to do that, I promise you there's going to be a revival in America that's going to shift the tide, and heaven's going to come down and lives are going to be changed. You know what we need in America today? We need the blinded eyes to be opened and the deaf ears to be unstopped and the dead to be raised. We need the church to be the apostolic church that God's called us to be. Listen, I'm preaching to Democrats and Republicans and Independents, because none of us here today ought to be worried about the D, the R, the I, but the C, Christ. Hey, I got one king and his name is Jesus. And I'm going to put my hope in him. I'm not going to put my hope in this world. Some men trust in the chariots and some in horses, but I'm trusting in only the one true and living God. And it's him that I'm going to depend upon all day. He said, if my people, we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to look to heaven. We need to forgive. We need to open our eyes. The scripture goes on to say, then the Lord says, now my eyes will be opened, my ears attentive to the prayer that has been made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all times. You see, this whole thing, we're thinking about me, and none of it's about me. It's all about him. This deal is about the kingdom of God. He created you for his purpose. He didn't do this for us just to come together and have a pep rally on Sunday and then go do whatever we want to do. He created us to lift up the name that's above every other name and to change the world around us. I believe God wants the church to repent. To repent. To repent. Well, Pastor, I don't need to repent. I don't do anything that's really that bad. Really? The Word of God says, he that knoweth to do good and don't do that, to him it is a sin. Sometimes it's not what we're not doing that's so wrong. I mean, that we're doing is not so wrong. It's what we're not doing. When we're complacent and not doing what God has called us to do, somebody needs to wake up and say, hey, I'm sinning. Oh, Pastor, don't preach that. Because, you know, all those adulterers out there, theirs are sinners. And the thief and the liar and the murderer, they're sinners. We're not sinners. Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we pressing into his presence? Are we after the kingdom of God? Are we so busy we don't have time for all of that? It's a good word. We have a mandate to carry out what Jesus said to do. And he told us to love people. There's no room. No room. Somebody say no room. There's no room for hate and discord in the body of Christ. No room for that. There's no room for hate in the body of Christ. There's no room for discord in the body of Christ. We're called to love people no matter what the circumstances is, no matter what their skin color is, no matter what their income is, no matter what their lifestyle is. No matter what they have chosen, Jesus loved everyone. He loved the adulteress. He loved the Pharisees who spoke against him. Jesus loved everyone. We pick and choose who we love. We love people that love us. That's convenient. We pick and choose people who we decide that we're going to give our best to. Aren't you glad Jesus had a better plan for us? When I think about this today, I'm broken because I realize that, you know what? Without the grace of God, there go I. Without the grace of God, where would I be today? Without the grace of God, I would either be in jail or in hell probably right now. But God showed his grace upon me. He showed his love upon me. While I was still a sinner, he loved me. And I've got to love people the way that he loved me. I can't choose sides today. I choose his side. There's one side that I'm on. It's God's side. I'm on God's side. I choose him today. Luke 6 says this, love your enemies. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. The one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Let me put that in another terms for you. The one that asks for your coat, give him also your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Let me stop right there for a minute. Oh, God, what conviction when I put that on the page. How do I want people to treat me? How do I want people to see me? How do I expect people to respond to me? How do I treat people is the determination of how I feel that people should respond. If you're critical of other people, get ready to be criticized. If you're mean to other people, get ready to be hated. If you're rude and obnoxious to people, then expect that. But if you love people and you care about their well-being and you care about their life, then expect it to be cared for. We have this thing that we expect. We have a whole society that expects good for nothing. You owe me. No, you don't. We don't owe anybody. The only one that deserves anything is him. And God has been so good to us and so gracious to us. We are to love people. Somebody said, well, I don't have any friends. And I say, well, how many people have you befriended? Well, I don't have anybody that nobody talks to me. Well, who do you talk to? Well, when I was in the hospital, nobody came to see me. Did you ever go see anybody in the hospital? When I was broke, nobody came to fund me. Did you ever give anybody a dollar when you had one to give? Come on, somebody. I know. I knew this was going to be a good day like this. But see, this is the Bible. This ain't just some good idea. This is a God idea, how we create the church to be what it's created to be. It's more than just coming on Sunday and getting a good amen and hearing a good sermon and having a good shout. It's really more than that. It's what we do out there that matters more than what we do in here. Praise God. If you love those who love you, what benefit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend those who you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But he goes on to say, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And then the next line says, and you will be sons of the Most High. How many want to be sons and daughters of God? He just gave us a formula on how to be sons and daughters of God. It's not coming to church on Sunday morning and getting your praise on that makes you a son or daughter of God. It's how you live. It's how you give. It's how you walk. It's how you talk. He said, if you want to be sons and daughters of God, this is a mandate that I'm giving you. Give, and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For this is the kind of the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as the Father is merciful. Oh, he's been so good to us. Has God been good to you today? Has God been gracious to you today? How many deserve to have what you have today? God has been good to you. We must have a spirit of humility and forgiveness. A spirit of humility and forgiveness. Ephesians 4:31 says this. I want to back up. I want to talk just a minute about having the ability to have a heart of giving. Listen, we think about giving so much, and We're so blessed in America that it's easy for us to give our money but not give our time. The Lord just quickened this in my spirit just now. Because it's easy for us to say, hey, I'll give you $100, just don't bother me. Some people need you. Some people need you to show up on their doorstep. Some people need you to help them get out of the car. Some people need you to listen to what they have to say. Sometimes it's so much harder to give of ourselves than it is to give of our money. God says, I want you to give all. I want you to do what I've done. Give your life for the relationships that I've given you the opportunity to have. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and all clamor and slander to be away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger. Man, we live in a world that's so full of bitterness and anger and turmoil. We're the church. We're the peace of God walking on the face of the earth. We're the hands and feet of Christ. That's who God has called us to be. Jesus, who done no wrong, while he was nailed to a tree, ripped of everything, spit upon, crown of thorns upon his head, bleeding from his side. God Almighty, robed in flesh, who had all power and authority, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Lord, those that persecute me, those who are hating me, those who are speaking evil against me, forgive them, Lord. Do we have a heart like Christ today to say, Lord, we forgive those that have hurt us, who have spoke against us, who have wounded us? We hold things so dear to us that God wants us to let go. There are people in churches every day who don't go to the same church they used to or won't go around people because they've got wounded in the house of the Lord and still can't love one another and call themselves Christians. That's not of God. Let me tell you something today. I want everybody to look at my face. I'm pastoring today, so I want everybody to focus right here on me. Look at me. You need to humble yourself, because I can assure you that every one of you in this place today has hurt someone. There's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice that at some point has not said something or done something to hurt someone. So why is it that we feel so good and so comfortable and so at peace with holding something against someone who has hurt us? He said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. So, Pastor, what's the test of that? Can you walk into that room with that person and love them that's wounded you? If you haven't read the book, The Bait of Satan, you need to read it. Because if you're carrying around offenses and it's you just walk in the presence of someone and it stirs up wrath and anger and hurt and wounds in you, you haven't forgiven them. If someone mentions their name and you become angry or hurt, you haven't forgiven them. Let me tell you something. That is the cancer to the soul, and it will destroy you. We have to forgive. We have to set people free in our lives. We have to be willing to go the extra mile. And if you've never wounded anyone, then okay, you're free of this. But I promise you, we've all said things to hurt people. If you've been married more than a day, if you got kids, if you have any friends, if you have any family, if you've ever been to a church or you've ever been on a job, you've wounded people and you've been wounded. Let's lose our selfish pride. Let's lay down that bitterness and that envy and that strife, and let's be the church that God's called us to be. We're going to change a nation because we're going to do the things that God has called us to do. It's time that the church stops getting caught up in the fears of this world and love people like Christ has loved us. He said all the law hinges on these two things. Love the Lord God and love people. We don't always have to agree. We don't always have to agree, but we got to love people. God didn't call us to be haters. One of our local government officials in this town, he and I got into some debate, to say the least. And he kind of said something to me and kind of sparked a fire in me, and my old nature rose up within me. And I kind of got up in his grill a little bit, let him know how I felt about it, and walked away from there kind of like, yeah, told him. Now, if you ask me today, I still think that my opinion was right. But after doing that, in prayer that week, the Lord began to discipline me. And I didn't like the discipline. The Lord said the way you spoke to him was not of God. So after, I'll be honest, I didn't hear the call the first time, nor the second, or probably the third or the fourth, to be truthful. But after the Lord kept disciplining me every time I would pray, then I picked up the phone and I called him. I said, could you meet me for coffee? He said, sure, I'll meet you for coffee. He walked in, prepared for war, defense, all his defenses up, rightly so. And I said, look, man, as a man of God, as a Christian, as a brother, would you please forgive me for how I talked to you the other day? I'm not pinning any roses on myself. I'm just simply saying that sometimes in our being right, we can be wrong. Sometimes we have to learn to have a spirit of humility and meekness. That doesn't mean that we're weak. There was nothing wrong for me standing up for what was right or what I thought was right. What was wrong is when my attitude was like, hey, you punch me, I'm punching you. You talk to me that way, I'm talking to you this way. You give it to me, I'm giving it back. And God quickened my spirit. You see why? Why did God do that? Because look, the most important thing is that I be a light to the world. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. Not because I represent the harbor in Hammond, but because I represent the kingdom of God. Because I promise you, I could get an army and tell them my side and his side, and I would get some people on my side, and they'd say, go sick them, pastor, go get them. But what am I going to get? Am I advancing the kingdom of God? Am I advancing the purpose of God, or am I advancing my agenda? Boy, I tell you what, if I took the time to pray and seek God and to seek his face and to cry out to him and to go after him in the time that I took getting ready to deliver that strong word of correction, we probably could have corrected more things, because God is good. I know today that this is a pastoral message, but I want to change the nation. We got to love people. From the Passion Translation in Luke 6, Jesus said, "Forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others, and then you will not be judged or criticized or judged in return. Don't look at others and pronounce them guilty, and you will not experience guilty accusers, accusations yourself. Forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. Give generously, and gracious gifts will be given back to you. Shake down, measured, and running over the top. For your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return." You want greatness in your life. You want love in your life. You want the power of your God in your life. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. What are we going to do, Pastor? We're going to love God, and we're going to love people. It's so easy to condemn. Condemning is easy. But love is a four-letter word, and it's not L-O-V-E. It's W-O-R-K. It's work. It's discipline. It's obedience. It's doing what you don't want to do at times. It's giving when you don't really want to give. It's being flexible when it would be easier to be rigid. It's making room for people who are imperfect like you. It's giving place for the presence of God to move and to work. Love covers. Love builds up. Love changes the world. Hate destroys and tears down. Malice and envy and strife build walls. Love conquers those things. It's God's call upon our life to love people. We're supposed to love like He loves. We're supposed to care like He cares. We have so much to be thankful for. We've been so blessed. We don't have time to get caught up in all this confusion. We turn on our televisions and we watched over the last few weeks as these people parade down our streets and they burn buildings and turn over cars and they protest and they scream out and they cry out, and we could become just caught up in the confusion. We don't need to be a part of that. We don't need to be a part of posting our hateful thoughts on Facebook. Listen, I'm not going to police your Facebook. If you put stuff on Facebook that's not godly, I'm not going to call you up and say, "Hey." Well, I might. I have some. But I don't make it a habit of policing what people say. But there's this thing called the Holy Spirit that ought to be able to police our hearts. And if we're children of God, there ought to be something inside of us that we make a decision that we're going to love people and that we're going to care about people more than we care about anything else in the world. And that we're going to leave our hatred and our thoughts. And listen, there's no place in the kingdom of God for prejudice and hate. No place for it. You see those doors back there? They're open for everybody to walk through here that wants to come. For everyone. Somebody said, we had a situation in the church one time. Somebody said, "Well, you need to probably ask that person to leave." I said, "No, I'm not asking that person to leave. If that person don't need to be at church, who does?" That door is open to whoever. And we're not going to judge them when they walk through that door. We're going to love them to Jesus. Right. Yeah. We're going to have a heart that says, "Look, I know you're broken. But so am I. I know there's things wrong in your life, but there's things wrong in my life. I know you don't have it all together, but we don't have it all together." I had someone tell me years ago, said, "I don't know if I could come to your church, Pastor. I really just don't have it all together." I said, "You'll be right at home. Because we're a church, a bunch of people that don't have it all together. Amen. We're going to love people. And we're going to be the church that changes a nation. Yes. Not just our nation, but a church that changes nations around the world. Yes. And I'm sorry. You may leave out of this place today and say, well, I whatever you might say. But listen, we're not going to have... We're going to be a church that loves people. I'm done with all this racism and prejudice and envy and strife and bitterness. I'm done with all of that. I'm tired of hearing it. It'd be amazing to find out where you came from. It'd be amazing to find out where, if we dated back through your, where you really came from. Oh, but I know where I came from. I came from brokenness. I came from hurt and pain, and I came from a place where people loved me, and they showed me the kingdom of God. Now, church, it's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to press into the presence of God and come heal this nation. You're going to get to work, and people's going to say, what do you think about this? You ought to say, here's what I think about it. Jesus is Lord. I love people. And promote the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to be honest with you today. It's okay for you to have your opinion about who you elected or who you voted for. I'm fine with that, as long as you don't hate the person who don't agree with you. Somebody said, well, you're not supposed to say that. No, I'm going to say, you can say, I voted for principles, and I stand on those principles. But I don't hate the people who didn't vote the way I did. Because the moment I say I'm voting for biblical principles and hate the ones who voted differently, I lost the number one biblical principle, and that's to love people. I've missed the whole thing. Everything that I believe in, everything that hinges on my beliefs is loving God and loving people. And if I quit loving people, I really don't love God. Are y'all with me today? So my heart is broken for our nation today. But at the same time, I'm thankful. Praise team, you can come. You know what we are today? We're the kingdom of God. You know what the world needs today? We need an invasion of the Spirit of God. We need a revival like no other time in our nation. We need a revival. We need to shake ourselves. Come on, you need to pinch yourself and say, wake up. Wake up. What has God called me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? We need to love people. We need to love people. I'm going to say it 10 more times before you get out of here today. We need to love people. We need to love people.